Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReportLive.com, that's where we're going to find all of the audio, video segments and shows. HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com for print, HagmanStore.com for coffee, gourmet coffee. Look, I would urge everyone to support this program. We are in need of support. If you like gourmet coffee, if you like hyper-caffeinated coffee, Detective's Choice, that's your go-to. That's my go-to. And, of course, we've got Patriot and Revolution blends in bean, grind, and K-cups for you. HagmanStore.com. I want to start off today. Life's tough sometimes. A good friend of the program, J.D. Hopwood, I don't know how many of you know him. I met him in Florida a number of years ago. And we spent some time in different parts of the country together, him and his wife, a couple of years ago. Well, I'm going to say within the last 2 years, him and his wife had a baby daughter that was born and passed away within hours of birth. He's had a tough life along with his wife, Bridget. Well, this past week he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And, he's got no insurance. He's got nothing. Now he's determined to fight this. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Now, he was at Ground Zero in New York when he, on 9/11/01. I don't have any answers. I don't know why. But there's a GoFundMe for J.D. Hopwood. Help J.D. fight cancer and support his family. Hashtag J.D. Strong. It's going to be linked up at HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com. And on our social media as well. If I could ever get to my social media again, for some reason I'm locked out and I don't know why. But JD, look, we're praying for you. We're behind you. And, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. He's had a tremendously tough couple of years. It's tough. I want to thank Eric the Tech for putting the, GoFundMe together. So, there you have it. So, all of us who think, well, geez, we're having a bad day. No, you know what, folks? We're not having bad days. Stuff happens, right? Everything's relative. And, it's a fight ahead of him. I believe in him. I believe that he could beat this. I do. He needs our prayers. He needs our support. And that's J.D. Hopwood, good man. All right. Hates to start programs like that. I just do. But you know, I like to think that we're part of a family here. We're a family. We work together. We play together. We work hard. We play hard. You know, we have agreements. We've got disagreements. It's just like a family. So when a family member's down, it's rough. All right. You know, all the talk about the, I just want to get this out of the way too. All the talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died peacefully, I might add. Much unlike the tens of millions of babies whose violent murder that she advocated. Now, if that sounds kind of harsh, it's meant to be. You know, as we look back over the history of the United States very, very quickly here, The U.S. was the first nation in the world to base our government and society upon the idea, as the Declaration of Independence states, that all men are created equal, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Liberty comes from God, not from man or man's governments. Let's remember that, okay? Religion is looked upon as the enemy of the godless, the all-powerful and infallible state. Think about that. Government in the United States, like governments in all socialist or soon-to-be socialist countries, is in attack mode against Christianity. The left is in attack mode against Christianity. If you are a Christian, if you are a white Christian, if you are a white conservative Christian, you are a target in this nation right now and all across the world. And more surrender is demanded from each and every Christian generation in this country until there's nothing. Charles Sasser wrote a book, Crushing the Collective. In it, he cites a report, undeniable, the survey of hostility to religion in America. The Texas-based Liberty Institute asked several what-if questions. What if open and widespread expression of religion in government, schools, workplaces, public places, and more is eliminated? It's driven into the shadows of society. What if religion becomes an opinion only to be expressed privately in your home or quietly in your church, if at all? What if religious liberty becomes a poor, subservient tenant of an arbitrary and impetuous government landlord? Think about that. If that occurs, concluded the report, then government can erase any of your rights as it sees fit. Remember, rights come from God, not from government. Since government, not the Creator, cited by the founders, will be regarded as the ultimate definer, giver, or taker of all rights. We have seen this with the statues trying to erase our history. We've seen this in our school books, in our texts. We've seen this on the news. We see it every single day. And you know what? We've seen it with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Like it or not, we've seen it on the left, these black robe tyrants on the left. We've seen it. Godless. Once abolished the God, declared G.K. Chesterton, and the government becomes the God. And that's what we're seeing now with the mask police and all of that. There were three very influential thinkers in the 20th century: Sigmund Freud, Karl Marx, and Charles Darwin. Freud assailed religion as an illusion and therefore a neurosis. Did you know that? For all you Freudians out there. Marx viewed it as a superstition that held down working classes. And Darwin helped provide a theory that left the Creator out of the equation completely. Of course, Darwinism. But let's take a look very briefly within our lifetime. Within the lifetime of many people still living right now, faith in America has suffered a long string of defeats. Many at the Supreme Court and many at Ruth Bader Ginsburg's hand as well. Not all, but some. Consider this list. Just a few, okay? Voluntary religious instruction in public schools, outlawed. School prayer, ruled unlawful. Reading a Bible in school, deemed unconstitutional. The Ten Commandments banned from the classroom walls in all public government venues. High school graduation prayers prohibited. Students forbidden to pray during high school athletic games. veterans memorials, that is, are not allowed to display the cross or the Ten Commandments. Bibles are forbidden to be handed out on federal property. Employees are forced to pay for abortions despite any religious objections we might have. And you can thank Barack Hussein, Bathhouse, Barry Satoru, Obama for that. Christians are forced to accept and endorse same-sex marriage. Again, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Her Supreme Court. You can damn well bet that, you know, there's going to be some glorified deification of Ginsburg on a state and federal level, or federal level, I should say, in the Boy Scouts of America, being compelled to accept homosexual scout leaders, and all across the spectrum, folks. The United States has become and is becoming the war on Christianity. It rages in the courtrooms, and especially at the Supreme Court level. This is why it is so important right now, that President Trump puts the pedal to the metal and puts a Supreme Court justice in there that's going to bring back our rights, that's going to bring back the morality. Now, you can't legislate morality, but you certainly can impose immorality through black-robed tyrannical litigation. Can we not? Haven't we seen that happen? You can reverse some decisions. Now, you're not going to reverse the hearts of people, nor can you. But if you can make someone wear a mask, you certainly can stop abortions, or infanticide, or the killing of the unborn, for one. Or you can certainly redefine marriage as the union between a man and a woman. And there should be no confusion as to what a man is and what a woman is. Cousin It in Pennsylvania, I don't know what it is. If it's a man, if it's a woman, if it's a floor wax, I don't know. But this culture, this war, this culture war has split America into hostile camps, and we're seeing it play out today. As if we don't have enough troubles internally, President Trump today, he's holding China accountable for their actions. We're seeing, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because China has done us wrong. You want to be eating Kung Pao chicken for the rest of your life or whatever? Yeah, go for Biden. President Trump to the United Nations this morning said, hold China accountable for their actions in releasing the Chinese Communist Party virus. And of course, the House, did you see this? The House said, oh, you can't call it the Chinese. No, you can't mention the Chinese Party virus. You can't call it, that's racist. Bunch of Muppets. With me is, Randy Taylor. He's an analyst. I kept him waiting too long. Well, I just vented because I needed to vent. And I'm not done venting either, so just a warning. But you know, can you see where this is going? Did you see where it's been? I ticked off a list here. Cited again, Crushing the Collective. It's a book that rarely leaves my desk. It's Charles Sasser is the author. I've had him on the program. He's a good guy. And he's right. He's correct. Randy Taylor, an analyst from the Hagmann Report. We're looking at a number of things. By the way, You want to know who's funding what we're seeing out there right now? I'm going to tell you right now, it all goes back to, Barack Hussein, bathhouse Barry Obama and his minions. It goes back to, the communists in this country. In addition to Obama, but it's that communist element within this country. They're fueling this fire. They're funding this fire. And oh, by the way, just so you know, mass Nazis, if you haven't run into them, The Federalist is a very, very good article. The Federalist. Now, I don't like all of their articles. I don't like all of their authors. But, the Federalist writes, mass fanatics have officially abandoned science to control your life. What in the hell is it with regards to masks? What is it about masks? Okay, are you, we saw in numerous cities where, banned video, InfoWars, Owen Schroyer or David Knight, Alex Jones, they show videos about, people being arrested for not wearing masks. Are you kidding me? And most of the 99% of the time, these people wear these cloths over their face. They don't work, but it's a city ordinance. They say you must wear a mask. So now we've got mask fanatics saying it doesn't matter about the science. It's all about the rule. It's nothing new for political religions to produce radicals that develop their own sects or cults, and that's what we're seeing right now. Read the article in The Federalist. All right, Randy Taylor from HagmanReport.com. Thanks for bearing with me while I ranted.
That's quite all right. Good morning, sir. How are you? You looked a little wound up.
You think?
Just a wee bit. Just around the edges. Yeah. Hey, I like that coffee cup, man. It's sharp. Sorry, had to. Eric's going to cut me off here shortly. Respect the bean. Yep, things are out of hand, buddy.
What are we going to do about this?
Absolutely. And as far as RBG,
yeah,
it kills me to watch all these people say great things about her. And I'm like, this is one of the worst people. I mean, this woman has a higher body count, as far as I'm concerned, than Adolf Hitler.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, this, we're talking millions and millions and millions. And people, I guess people just really don't look at abortions as what they are. But when they reach up inside and they pull a baby out in pieces, do people not understand that that baby felt pain? That's a little human being that just had its head pulled off. I can't even fathom the pain and that we allow it. So, when it comes to sympathy for RBG, I have none. None whatsoever. I could care less. I didn't like her when she was alive. And I'm not going to pretend to like her now that she's dead, as everybody else does. Everybody else is, you know, don't speak ill of the dead. I don't have a problem with it. Okay, she was an evil woman. She's gone. It's time to get somebody in there that cares about the sanctity of life, that cares about conservative values, that might actually have a moral compass. Let's get them on the Supreme Court. The part that kills me, and I've never seen anything like it, was her dying wish. I don't care what her dying wish was. Her dying wish was for another punch of morphine because she was dying from cancer. So it was probably a very painful death. All right. And as far as her dying wish, I don't care what her dying wish was. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says, oh, please disregard if there's a dying wish.
Very true.
It's more crap from the left. Shame on them. And I'll tell you right now, that dying wish thing was a lie. And I'll tell you why. Ruth Ginsburg, okay, was a very organized individual. She was also very mouthy.
That's true.
I've never seen a justice speak out against the president. She slammed President Trump way out of line. She should have been pulled off the court at that point. But because she's 1,500 years old and, you know, dying of this and dying of that, they left her on there. Fine. Because honestly, she should have been removed a long time ago. As soon as you step out of your unbiased position and you make a political statement like she did numerous times, you're out of here.
You know, this may be way in the weeds, Randy, but I got to tell you, I don't know of anybody who had pancreatic cancer who lived as long as she did. Now, I'm just saying, man, how'd that happen?
I would say she's got the best health care. That's why. Not the health care that normal folks have.
I mean, are we sure that she wasn't, you know, that it wasn't a weekend of burning?
I see where you're going with her. They kept her in the closet.
I don't know.
They put her in the freezer. Did you ever see that one meme where it shows her like being pushed? Like, it's the top part is Ginsburg and the bottom part is roller wheels.
Yeah, I have.
If I see it again, I'll send it to you. It's very funny.
You know, it just amazes me, but I guess it is what it is at this point. Or at least it is what it, I mean, she's gone. President Trump's going to nominate, I suspect it could very well be Amy Coney Barrett.
As he should.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is how it works. There's no contingencies in the Constitution for her dying wish.
Right.
Okay. And if it was any other president, which has happened many times in the past, I believe it was 20, if I remember right, it was 23 times it's happened in our history during an election year and 17 were confirmed.
That sounds about right. 19 maybe sticks in my mind. I don't know.
Without looking, I think those were the numbers.
Yeah, it's close.
But you know what? If this was reversed roles, the Democrats would be all over it. Right. And I just couldn't believe they came back with this fake dying wish because it's a lie. It's a plain, bold-faced lie. And I'll tell you why. If that was her dying wish, we would have heard about this back when she was motor mouthing Trump.
Exactly.
This woman wasn't holding back, and she would have, she knew she was looking death in the eye, which had to scare, I mean, think about this. You got the blood of probably 30 million babies on your hands. I would be afraid to meet my maker.
You got that right. I would be afraid as well. And, you know, it's, what's wrong? I mean, there's something wrong with someone who does not see the evils of killing an unborn child. I look at the images from my daughter, the ultrasounds, and you can see at I don't know how many weeks, but so many weeks, the baby sucking her thumb and playing with her feet and punching mommy, you know, and how can you possibly, how can anyone possibly say, you know, killing that's okay. And by the way, when the Center for Medical Progress exposed Planned Parenthood's evil deeds, I couldn't believe some Christians coming out with these friggin' blogs, especially these self-proclaimed, self-righteous, witches, in my view, witches, you know, who have these blogs who believe it's their duty to go after people like me. And say, well, you know, Center for Medical Progress, they lied, and they're making Christians look bad because they lied and they created this fake company.
Yeah.
That's your problem with this? As a Christian, no wonder we're screwed up, in my view. And all of this is in my view, by the way.
I don't understand how anyone calling themselves a Christian or speaking on behalf of a particular church can support Democrats, period, with what we see today and what we know about the Democrat Party. I mean, bear in mind now, Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and these people, they're not allowed to take communion in their church because of their stance on abortion.
Right.
That right there, I'm sorry, wipes you out as a viable leader. You know, there's a certain, I think a lot of, and I'll blame Bill Clinton for this. Okay. President Bill Clinton, because what he did is the morality part of politics. He pretty much really tried to remove that. What he did in his own time was his business and all that. And I'm like, you know what? Keep it in your pants for 4 years, pal.
And especially keeping your pants when you're in the Oval Office, you know, the oral office now, right?
I'm saying, I mean, everybody's got their flaws, okay? I'm not a perfect human being by any stretch of the imagination. But I think for 4 years or 8 years, while I'm supposed to be setting an example and be the leader of the greatest and most powerful nation in the free world, that I should, I can behave myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's a small chunk out of my life for this fantastic job that the American people gave me. You know, I mean, that's just how I would look at it. And I just think that when he said, I did not have sex with that woman, okay, what he was doing was splitting hairs, because he was counting sex as intercourse.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, pal. As soon as you close the door with that young lady in your office and put your hands on her, you were engaged in sexual activity.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a married man.
Yep.
I could never say to my wife, well, I'm sorry, honey, my apologies, but that technically wasn't sex.
Well, it depends on what is, you know? But yeah, yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? So there we have what always was a moral compass for that top leadership spot is now not so, okay, well, okay, you people are putting me on a pedestal and I really didn't want to be on a pedestal. You know what I'm saying? The left has always taken those liberties. They'll take something that's a gray area and they'll just stretch it to cover whatever they need to cover. And abortion is murder. Plain and simple. I understand there's times that there's going to have to be an abortion. I get it. But is it a convenience? I remember Barack Hussein Obama when he was campaigning and he was talking about abortion and he was talking about his daughters. How he would let them have an abortion because he wouldn't want them to be burdened with an unwanted pregnancy. Well, Father Obama, leader of the family, did you talk to him about maybe abstaining from sex?
No, because
we have a backup plan. We can always go down to the clinic and kill that little creature from God. I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for abortionists, people that condone it, people that, and these, I see them on social media. It blows my mind. People dancing around going, I killed my baby. I killed my baby. What in the hell has gone wrong with the people in this country?
Yeah.
What I would be furious if that was my kid out there doing that. In fact, I'd tell her, don't ever bring your ass to my house again.
Well,
I'm serious. I absolutely, and you know my background, Doug, you know that I'm adopted. So it's a very sensitive subject with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I could have been, one of those coat hanger projects, because back when I was born, it definitely was not fashionable to have a child in the living
room. Oh, thank God. I mean, thank God the right thing was done.
I'll give her credit. She now granted she dropped me off with at a friend's house and never came back, but she dropped me off alive, so all is good.
There's that, yeah.
She had to do what she had to do. And I am here today because she did the right thing.
Amen. And we appreciate the fact that you're here today. Good coffee cup, by the way. Nice coffee cup.
I couldn't get one with the little brown things on it. I don't know. Somebody told me they were coffee beans. I said, surely they aren't. That looks like what I pick up in my backyard. Just kidding, buddy. Can you hear me, Eric? Just kidding. I like the cup, man. Respect the bean, brother.
He just said, based on the impact that this is going to have, your statement is going to have on sales. You owe us, let me see here.
That's good. You know what? I'll say this. I've had the Hagman coffee, all three types. It is good coffee.
We pick it ourselves. And
well, a lot of people aren't into coffee and beans. I would always buy coffee and beans. I prefer to grind my own. I know this has nothing to do with the show, but I prefer to grind my own because of the freshness. It's a good cup of coffee. I don't put cream in it. I don't put sugar in it. I prefer to taste the coffee.
Right.
And you do have some fantastic coffee. In fact, if you need to stay awake, get the Detective blend. That'll almost make your hair stand up at times. I'd limit it to one cup, though.
I don't know. I'm on my sixth today. Whoa. So, that's okay. But what you were saying, I want to go back to what you're saying, because I had mentioned about the culture war being, splitting this country in two. And, remember back at the 2012 Democratic convention, just some 8 years ago, where Obama was reaffirmed at that convention. And of course, he was called the man of change, if I recall correctly. But it was then when they scrubbed any mention of God from the Democratic platform. And yeah, we see what we're getting today from the left now. So,
well, the left is definitely, I don't care what they come out and say. I have a couple of Congress people, persons. You used to call them congressmen. They're congresspersons.
They're congressmen, period. That's as far as I don't care if they're women, black.
There's a couple of them that get my back up, okay? One is Pelosi when she comes out and does the fake Christian bit. Well, I'm praying for the president.
Yep.
No, you're praying on the president, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G. Secondly is any references by Ted Lieu with scripture, and Pelosi with scripture.
Yeah.
Do not, and I repeat, do not throw scripture at me. Okay. You can't sit there and condone what you condone in this country and then try and tell me that you're in touch with God. I am far from a perfect man. But I have a relationship with my Lord Jesus. That's plain and simple. Okay. But Doug, I don't kill the helpless.
Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
I don't sign up for this insanity that I'm seeing. I don't believe that one race is better than a different race. My Bible is pretty cut and dry, pretty black and white. And what I see coming from the left, and it really gets my dander up, is when they start quoting scripture. In fact, what it does, it pushes me to doing memes and sticking them out on Twitter, because it's just, you can't sit there and profess to be a Christian, yet absolutely everything you do every day is non-Christian. So spare me. Do I make mistakes? Absolutely. I do things wrong. I do something wrong every day, but I'm not killing God's creations. I don't condone it. I'm faithful to my wife. I try and raise my kids the way they're supposed to be raised. I love my country. I try and make the right decisions. My wife, we were talking about this yesterday. She said, the subject came up when you die. And I said, really, all I want people to say is he was a good Christian man, that he was fair, and that he was honest. That's all.
It's fair. You know,
I don't have a legacy behind me. I'm not going to create a fake legacy. But I'm really sick and tired. And I know people, you mentioned earlier about God being taken out of things in the government.
Right.
Now, I noticed if you, and let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to George Bush.
Right.
Okay. Not senior, junior. And there was a big deal about at the time, somewhere, I'm going to say Arkansas or Alabama, people were raising Cain about, in God we trust and all in being visible in the courthouse.
Right.
There was a big deal about it. And I don't know if that was the exact phrase in God we trust. I'm going to assume it was because.
In the courtrooms and in the courthouses. Yes. This is back.
Yeah, it's kind of standard on the wall. It's on our coins, on the dollar bills. Right. So Bush said, yes, he agreed with having it taken out of the system. And I sat there and I thought about that and I thought, why? Why? And it dawned on me with Bush that possibly he was doing it because if you remember at the same time, we were under a huge push by CARE and Muslims of America and all to get their religious ideology into the government. More so than it is today. It's backed off a little bit. They're trying other routes, but it was a face on with CARE. You know, this isn't right. So I'm thinking he did that possibly. I could be wrong, but he did that possibly so that they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. Because he could say, well, we took all references to God out, so you can't put references to Allah or your five pillars or anything in. That's a possibility. Now, with Obama, totally different because I know Obama has some kind of backdoor Muslim roots in there. Okay. I know that he has, even if he didn't do it in office, I know that he practiced Islam in his life. Okay. And Islam is pretty much like the mafia. Once you're in and you stay. Okay. He's almost like, and for lack of a better description, he's like a Marxist Muslim. You ever notice that? I mean,
true. Very true. Now let me, I just wanted to, because for some people
let's dissect that.
But hold on a second. Let me go back to George Bush because it was, July 30th, 1956, when In God We Trust became the motto for the United States of America. Again, July 30th, 1956. So the 50th anniversary is 2006, and George Bush proclaimed or reinforced that motto, In God We Trust. Now, what you're talking about happened to be there was litigation that Bush voiced favor for during the time that involved Muslims. Okay, so saying that, you know, okay, we have to be inclusive, and so it was God, Allah, that kind of thing. So folks who are out there saying, "Well, George Bush never did that." Okay, it's not as simple as we just described. There are layers.
It was a particular instance that he voiced an opinion on.
Right. So, yes, 1956, the motto was declared. 06 was the 50th anniversary. George Bush proclaimed it, you know, re-proclaimed it. However, when you go back into some of the rulings and some of the petitions by the Muslims, you'll see where Bush had abandoned his philosophy in favor of the litigation pro-Islamic rulings. So go ahead, continue that. But yes, let's dissect. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I know I was.
No. That's good. I'm glad you clarified that for the listeners. That's important. A lot of times we'll talk about things here, and sometimes we need clarification.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. Let's see. What were we talking about? Oh, did you see? Just per chance, I'm just going to throw this out there. Did you see that Gates interview that I sent you?
I did not. And I saw the link to the interview, but I didn't see the interview.
If our listeners would, hunt it down. It's a Gates interview, and you could put in Bill Gates and then just put CDC. Okay, because I've been doing combination searches, pulling people together, organizations together. And right. A lot of times I'll put that in, put an asterisk, you know, enter another search term, and I get beautiful results from it. Not necessarily out of Google. I use a lot of different search engines out there because Google is obviously manipulated by the left. I know they claim they're not, but I'm sorry, they are. Well, and people sit there and argue and say, you're paranoid. No, I can prove it. And I don't need to. But one of the reasons that our country is in the state that it's in is because of Google. Okay. But anyway, Gates, in his interview, this is a guy that's getting pretty ballsy as far as I'm concerned. He's talking about, okay, ignore the CDC, ignore this, ignore that. And we're talking about established political entities, but he's like, ignore them. And people are listening to the guy. Bill Gates is not a medical anything. Okay.
Right.
He is a billionaire communist. And I don't know where he got the idea that suddenly he needs to be in charge of mankind. This is some kind of serious God complex that we're looking at. But this man has stepped way out of bounds. And the problem is the left is behind this guy. And the more he goes on about this COVID-19, the more he's part of the lie. Okay. Is COVID-19 out there? Yes. And I will not dispute that people have died from it. Has it been used as a political tool? Absolutely. Okay. What I'm seeing, and what you mentioned earlier about these cloth masks, are totally bogus. Okay. If this is an airborne / aerosol, okay, disease, flu, whatever you want to call it, scandal, right. Why are our eyes not protected?
Well, okay. True. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, bingo. We all know, and especially if you serve in the military, you know that the eyes are the quickest way into the bloodstream other than directly into the bloodstream.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up.
Think about it. Now, if you were wearing a gas mask, okay, a military issued gas mask, and you happen to run into some of the Russian nerve agent, okay, and you had to take the capsule, snap it, drop it in your mask to save your life, what does this tell us, Clarence? It wasn't to breathe it in. It was to get into your eyes.
As well.
When Timothy Leary used LSD, he always suggested putting a drop in your eye.
That's very true. Yeah.
Okay. Why? Because it's the fastest way into the bloodstream. So that said, and that, I also have a box over here that says right on these wonderful cloth masks that these are no good against COVID-19.
I got the same box. It's written in Chinese too.
Does it right on the box?
Yep. Yep.
And that's the other thing that really bugs me no end. Anything that I order from Amazon or anywhere that had anything to do with PPE related to COVID-19 is made in China.
It's interesting how that works. I found this. This is related to what we're talking about here. I found this video on Twitter. It's a Twitter embed. I don't know how to work this stuff, so I'm going to ask Eric. But I want you to take a look at this. This was published, made public back mid-September. Now, I don't know exactly when this was with any degree of authenticity, or I can't verify exactly what day, whether this was in March, whether it was in April, May, what day it was. And I'm not even sure if it matters. But take a look at this. Now, I'm not sure that many people have seen this. Take a look at this, Randy Taylor, with your comment about masks, eyes, the whole thing. And tell me what this tells you. And folks, you too. Look at this. Go ahead.
Today, and I say as of today at this hour, we have 33 confirmed positive tests for the virus.
Yesterday we had 22 cases. Today we have 33 cases. So it's gone up by 11. That brings, those are 11 new cases. 22 goes to 33.
As we sort through this here in Arkansas, today we have 33 confirmed positive cases in Arkansas.
As of today, we have 33 confirmed cases with Boston residents. We expect those numbers to climb.
As of this afternoon, we have 33 Pennsylvanians who have tested positive for COVID-19.
By the way.
So as of this morning, there were 33 confirmed cases in North Carolina.
And to you, lots to get to tonight. I'm Leon Hendricks. We want to start with new information into our newsroom. Within the past couple of hours, there are now 33 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Michigan.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the News at 6. I'm Richard Guerra. Karina Corral has the night off. More cases of the coronavirus were confirmed today in San Luis Obispo County, bringing the total number now to 33.
Right now, Georgia is reporting a total of 99 cases in 19 counties. That is 33 new cases from just yesterday.
Good afternoon. I'm Karen Swenson. More cases and more events affected. Here is the latest coronavirus news. There are now 33 cases in Louisiana.
As expected,
the number of cases of COVID-19 jumps. A total of 33 people in our state have been tested and are confirmed to have the coronavirus.
Day 4 of the shelter-at-home order brought 6 new confirmed cases of the coronavirus to San Luis Obispo County, bringing the total number to 33.
All troopers will be professional, polite, and we'll treat everyone with dignity and respect.
These latest steps as the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Rhode Island jumps by 33 overnight.
We have some.
All right. What the heck did we just see?
We just saw a complete manipulation of this as a political tool. That right there, I believe I sent that to you.
Did you?
You probably did. Yeah, when I saw it, I was stunned, and it reminded me of someone had done a video a few years ago about Fox affiliates, and they made a statement in the morning, and whoever it was managed to go and grab Fox affiliates from all over the country saying the exact
same thing.
Verbatim. I mean, it's dug to the letter. You remember it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If that doesn't prove to you, and anybody out there, that we are being George Orwell, I don't know what to tell you. But that video right there, it'll disappear, you know. But you guys have it. You grabbed it. Good. Fantastic. Because eventually we're going to be able to prove that this was baloney. A lot of things, and one cool thing about about the Hagman Report is just like in the old days, we could say something and they may not admit it, but they'll start running with it.
Yep.
Okay. When we just poked at Barack Hussein Obama a little bit last week. Okay. Start watching the social media. Other people are now starting to say things about Obama and BLM. Just suddenly, magically out of the air. Okay. We need to get this out there. Okay. And we're going to give far more ammo. This Doug and I have been talking about, Doug, you and I have been talking about this Act Blue. We're wondering where those checks go. You know, they're written out to BLM. Well, they're written out to Act Blue and then distributed to these different fronts. Act Blue being something was set up by Soros, George Soros. I mean, George Soros is constantly in the equation. In fact, somebody had emailed me a few days ago. I'm not going to say his name except Jacob. Jacob, I didn't answer you because I don't have the answer. All right. But if I had to, I would say number five. He gave me five choices there. I'll say number five is probably the most viable. Can't prove it, but Jacob, I did see your email and I didn't answer because I really don't, I don't have an exact answer for you on why Soros hasn't been prosecuted.
You know, of all the people in this country, I would think, in my personal opinion, that he should be, he'd be at the top of the list. But, you know, Act Blue, I just want to mention this. Act Blue, for those not in the know, was formed back during, was formed by Howard Dean during his 2004 presidential bid. It's an, okay, yes. Now, Act Blue is an internet-based political action committee that bundles and transmits contributions in which individual donors make an earmark for various progressive candidates, political parties, PACs, and outside spending groups. So they're this collection basket, Act Blue is.
I think Soros, though, was working with Dean on this incident.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so how this goes, when you start looking at the individuals involved in this, okay, Howard Dean, that's the initially. Then you have Daily Coast guy, whoever that is, Barbara Boxer, John Edwards, Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Sestak. This is what I've gotten so far. Oh, and David Fenton and George Gund III. Now, those people don't mean anything to you, some of them. Don't worry about it. But the organizations, Salsa Labs, the Democratic Party, hang on, and Daily Coast, hang on, shoot, you're right, Black Lives Matter, but Soros is a big part of this in the, sorry, I lost my place here.
He's dropped, Soros has dropped just something I saw just recently, a couple hundred million into this.
Yes.
That's a lot of money.
I was trying to get that, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And then you take that and you take anybody else, corporate sponsorship. We discussed that a little bit last time, where you make a purchase in a store and a portion goes to Black Lives Matter. Well, I'll tell you what, if I see that at the register, I will set the product down and leave.
Absolutely.
Nothing to do with it. And I'm going to give you a little something that was sent to me by someone in Canada, a listener. Apparently, there's a union up here, up in Canada, called the Public Service Alliance. And they now have a new social justice fund. That's in Canada. It's in Canada. Okay. The employer shall contribute 1 cent per hour worked to the PSAC Social Justice Fund. And this is to go to Black Lives Matter.
Huh.
This is taken right out of their union dues. Now, here's the thing. This individual told me they weren't consulted about this. And apparently this is going on in more unions. So I'm curious, because I really don't have any insight into the unions here in the States. This is not something I deal with. But if anybody out there is in a union here in the States and says, you know, a portion of their union dues are going to go to these social justice programs, drop me a line. Okay. Just go to the website, get the email, shoot me a line. Okay. You can hit me on Twitter too, but I really would like, you know, I'd like to get some feedback from our listeners on this.
And with that here, as we close this hour out, and thank you for riding shotgun with me, Randy Taylor. Folks, what we're trying to do, what Randy and I at the tip of the spear on this are trying to do, we're trying to expose all the tentacles of finance, the tentacles of control, the higher tentacles of, beyond the street level madness that we see. Who's controlling these? And we, you know what? We are spending a lot of time doing so. I know Randy has worked, he works probably 12, 14 hours per day doing this for nothing. So if you can support us, please do so. I would ask you to do that. Because right now Randy's working at about 13, 14 cents an hour.
Well, I got a raise.
Really?
All the coffee you can drink, sir.
Yeah, the coffee's on the house.
We're going to take a penny and.
I knew Eric was there.
Where's that penny going? Is it. But folks, so you can see where we're at, and then thank you for mentioning that. So, you know, the coronavirus, by the way, is all part of the, you'd say that was, look, it's a thing. It's legitimate. I mean, it is a virus. Okay. However, the response to it is to direct us into a certain path, as are all of these Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other events to direct us into this shoot. Am I correct?
Yeah, this was a direct shot from China.
Yeah.
Endorsed. I'll tell you right now, there's people in the Democratic Party that sat down in the Democrat Party that made arrangements, and I'm going to say Obama was right in the middle of it to unleash this virus. Okay, and don't give me the it was from bat soup or somebody ate something. Okay, this is manufactured in a lab. This was unleashed on the American people during an election year to kill the economy, which was Donald Trump's one of the biggest feather. It was the biggest feather in his cap, was a great economy. So they took a shot at that. Have people died from it? Yes, but the numbers are severely inflated. I know they're saying there's 200,000. I dare say the actual who died from it is probably less than 30,000.
I'd say you're right.
But anyway, folks, thank you. Thank you very much for your support.
Randy Taylor, my gosh, thank you. I love your brother, and I appreciate you very, very much. Give my best to your lovely bride and your family.
And your girlfriend.
Right on, man. I love to feed her from my hand. All right, folks, we're going to be back. Randy Taylor, thank you so very much. Again, please, if you can, give us some support so we can keep Randy in coffee. Well, no, in business. Getting right back. Stay right where you're at.
The mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReportLive.com for all the program descriptions, video, audio. That's HagmanReportLive.com. Again, the program description boxes are at HagmanReportLive.com. HagmanReport.com for print. HagmanStore.com for great coffee mugs, and other things. Stan Dale is scheduled for this evening. He's running a little bit behind, so hang in there. Don't worry. Eric the Tech will, you know, yell when he's ready. I started off the first hour with a very sad announcement, with a very, very heart felt announcement. You know, I don't know why things happen the way they do. I really don't. And I know that, you know, we all have bad days, right? We all have bad years. We all have, sometimes it just comes and comes and comes. And we don't know why God does things. We don't know, we just don't know why things happen the way they happen. Well, J.D. Hopwood, a good friend of the program, was diagnosed here within the past couple of days with terminal cancer. He's got it in his brain. Eric the Tech, where does he have it? He's got it
pretty much everywhere.
Pretty much everywhere. From his neck,
throat down.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not his brain, but his throat, throat down. Throughout his thoracic cavity, liver, spine.
In his back.
There's a GoFundMe. He's got no insurance. He was self-employed, and he lost his newborn baby daughter just, I don't know, several months ago, a year and a few months, I don't know, sometime in there. He and Bridget, they've just been slammed around so hard. For them to see stars, for him to see stars, you know, he's got to come up about 5 or 6 feet and just in order to, you know, catch your breath. But there's JD. Please, if you can, help him out with the GoFundMe. It's JD Hopwood. The link will be in our program description box and on the websites. If we can, Eric the Tech, I don't know. We can do that, it'll be at HagmanReport.com, the GoFundMe, HagmanReport.com for the GoFundMe. But he's a good guy. I spent some time with him, met him and his wife, had some great times with them. And just stay strong, buddy. Stay strong. All right. As I said, Stan is going to be running late. And the first hour I spent with Randy Taylor, of course, from the Hagman Report, and I'm serious about this as well. If you want us to continue to use our investigative assets, and I mean in the field and looking at the forensic aspects of things, please, please help us out. PayPal, Patreon, by mail. By the way, every piece of mail I receive, even the used condoms, I throw them out. Every piece of mail that we receive, I do read, and I appreciate every one of you. The first hour we were talking about George Soros, we were talking about Act Blue. Now, this is something we're working on right now. The Act Blue / George Soros complex. Now, this also includes Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton. Now, this is so important for us to understand and how bad this is and how infestated. That's a new word. Infestated. How bad things really are. But before I get into that, let me pull back a little bit, because we have in our midst, we have spies. We have people who want to take this country down. And let's put up the picture of the Kung Pao cop. How's that? I can't pronounce his name. This is a cop in Queens. All right. And if you can, don't worry about it. Yeah. Okay. So here's the story behind this. Let me grab this. I sent this to you. That's all right, though. You don't read my emails. Here's the story. The Department of Justice came out. And we've got that. It's they came out and made an announcement that a police officer in New York City police department officer charged with acting as an illegal agent of the People's Republic of China. So you've got a cop in New York City. By the way, I took the test for New York City NYPD back in 80. I think it was 80. 81. It was back in that period of time. I was hired, except I wasn't hired because they had eyesight requirements. Now, you know, if you identify as if you've got a dangling participle and say you're a woman, you can get in, and they give you extra credit, apparently. But they're also letting in, you know, Chinese spies so much for their background checks, right? The defendant in this case, I can't even pronounce his name. I'm not going to try. I just call him the Kung Pao cop. He was reported to officials with the PRC consulate about the activities of the Chinese citizens in New York. This guy was actually spying on Tibetan citizens in New York and providing intelligence to the People's Republic, to Communist China, about their activities. This is a New York City cop. How many more of them are there that maybe don't look like that and maybe have westernized names? We need to clean house, folks. This is not being a, look, it could, his name could be Joe Smith or John Smith or Jay Johnson, or it doesn't matter what his name is. Okay. If you're doing the crime, if you're out there and you're actively attempting to take down the United States, I mean, if it's that bad, then whatever the punishment is, if it's death, then man, let it be quick. But we better start doing something about this right now. And I mentioned in the first hour about the Supreme Court. I'm not going to go through that again. Is Stan okay, or we still need to, because I can go all day. Night, I mean. Stan, you want me to continue with you, without you, or what's up, brother? How do you like this? Live stuff. Stan's having some Skype issues. Okay, I'm not hearing him, so. Would you just say, Eric?
Nope.
All right. Let me go through this. Did you, the video I sent today, did you happen to download that? Or, yeah. Where it said start 108, or at, what did it say? It was the only one I sent to you, I think, or a second, I guess it wasn't. It was started, yeah, the very last line. You see what I, did you save that? That's the only one? All right. What I like it to do, folks, Alex Jones has been, obviously has been banned from every platform on the planet, on the internet, except for man.video, which is his. He said a few things that relate to everything that we were talking about. And until Stan Dale comes and is available, take a listen and take a look at this video. I thought this was an excellent expose from Alex Jones. Here it is.
Right into it. Let's get right into how serious things are. Obviously, with Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying, everything has gone into high gear since Friday night. And the globalist corporate forces that are very close to capturing the planet and capturing the United States are now in full war mode and have everything to lose by not escalating. And so we can guarantee in a threat compendium or timeline that they're going to carry out a list of different criminal actions, not just here, but around the world. We'll be laying some of those things out here with you today. But I want to say something right up front here. AOC is trained and funded by the globalists and by the radical Marxist communists. And she's funded by George Soros along with hundreds of DAs and attorneys that have now gotten elected to government at the county and city and state level, like Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York. And they are very far along in their criminal takeover. And when she came out Saturday night and said, we need to take the death of RBG and use Ginsburg's death to radicalize ourselves and to really get aggressive. Why did she say that? Because they're the ones ramping up the physical attacks. the bullying, the murders, the killings. And she understands that we're headed into a very, very hot conflict that they're trying to initiate. Whereas the average Christian, the average conservative, the average American, the average Brit, the average Aussie, the average Mexican, the average South African, the average whoever has been living under a period of limited turmoil compared to what we're about to go into. So if you think the world's been crazy for the last 20, 30, 40 years, get ready. It's about to go over the edge. And she understands that when they radicalize, we tend to not meet the threat at the same level because we're just shocked and overwhelmed by it. That's why I always say, you've got to get radical. Because they're radical, you've got to match that or surpass that to defeat them.
Okay, we have Stan with us. That's Alex Jones. I'll put the link in the program description box. Watch the entire video. I started it at the 1 minute, 8 second mark. Watch the entire video. Understand what Alex is saying. Understand that I'm 100% beside him, behind him. I endorse him. What he's saying. And, you know, I see the comments on YouTube. Go ahead and leave the comments. But there's really only two sides to this, the side of right and the side of wrong, the side of God, the side of Satan, the side of good and the side of evil. And it's my belief in his heart of hearts that Alex Jones is on the side of good. As are we. And if the fight comes to us, and I will say this, and I'll bring Stan right on. I've been saying this, you know, I joke that I'm a member of AARP, which is Armed and Angry Ready Patriot. And I should get a t-shirt from like that. I could probably get sued by AARP, but nonetheless, let me, if there must be a fight, let me fight. If there must be, I don't want to pass this along to my children. I don't want to pass this along to my grandchildren. This happened on my watch. It's my responsibility. I will not, there was a commenter on YouTube saying that ours is not the fight. What the hell good are you? I'll just say that to you. What the hell good are you? I truly believe if there is a civil war in this country, I will volunteer to take the first shot in defense of liberty and freedom. Again, in defense of liberty and freedom. Not for me, but for my family and for my children and grandchildren. And that's not a threat of violence. It's not even a wish. My goodness, I hope that never happens. That's a statement. All right, Stan. We all worked out okay. How you doing? This thing on? Hello. The number you've dialed is not in service at this time. Stan, brother, Stan Dale from standale.com. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan, except when it's not. Okay. He's rebooting. He's rebooting. So, okay. You'd think that, you know, we have, and I mean this, we have, and just in equipment, $20,000 in equipment. And I've seen people use cell phones and the internet and do a better job sometimes. It's frustrating. All right. Okay. So as I was saying, and as a matter of fact, if we can, Would it mess you up? I don't want to mess Stan up. Would it mess you up if we continued the Jones piece? Because I thought that was so good. Can we do that or not? I mean, it's up to you. Okay. I don't want to do anything that would, send things into a tizzy. All right. Let's continue with that until Stan's ready. Here's Alex Jones. This from yesterday. We're 42 days out, 41 days out from the general election. You've got a dead room temperature, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We need to get another Supreme Court justice in there ASAP, especially with the way things are going. And, of course, here's Alex Jones talking about the state of affairs right now. Go ahead.
These criminals have already conditioned us and already trained us to put up with incredible criminal activity on a regular basis. And so they're training us, even though we don't like it, even though we hate them, to accept that they randomly shoot police officers in the head and set up their own vigilante checkpoints and randomly shoot white people in the head, that they burn down police stations and federal buildings, and then the media gaslights us and tells us that they're nonviolent and they're heroes and you're bad. Then they come to people's bars and physically attack them in their businesses. And when they start physically attacking the bar owner and he shoots one of the people, he gets charged with murder. And when he commits suicide, the state senator calls him a white supremacist with no evidence. Because there's no bottom to these individuals. So let's hear from AOC, where she's giving orders to her troops to get more radical. As if all of the radicalization and the buildup you've seen of George Soros and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's color revolution that we're facing, as if you thought that wouldn't get worse. This was only a dress rehearsal for what's coming, I've been telling you, in 42 days, and now they admit just that. Here is AOC from her rotting apple.
That of all people that are deserving here in our country, which is everybody, everybody's deserving of safety and prosperity and justice. So listen, let this moment radicalize you. Let this moment really put everything into stark focus, because this election has always been about the fight.
And then she goes on for equality and a better life. She's the one that's helping destabilize things and destroy the economy and run the lockdown and try to take the guns and funding the violence. But then she says it's Donald Trump's fault. That's the reason the economy's falling apart. That's the reason all of this is happening. And if you just get rid of Donald Trump, it'll all get better. And what did Big Mike say? What did Michelle say about a month ago? She said at the DNC, if you think things are bad, reelect him. We'll make it a lot worse. And Atlantic Monthly, the New York Times, the Washington Post all said, we're going to burn America down, America, if you don't elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because they've already sold out to China. They've already parlayed the collapse of America into the new global government.
Okay. All right. And stop there. Obama. We have Stan. You can see where he's taking this, and this is the same place I'm taking this. We're both on the same page. This is a sellout to China. And Joe Biden, of course, would be the ultimate sellout to China. And it's interesting, you know, what they said about this also goes back to the coronavirus response. Not, again, the coronavirus, it's real. It's a real thing, but the response. Right now, this, according to the New York Post, says that almost 90% of New York City bars and restaurants, they couldn't pay August rent. Look at what the left has done. Look at the draconian measures in the name of safety, security, health. You know, oh my goodness, look at what they've done. Think about that. 90% of restaurants and bars in New York City still can't pay August rent. And we're in mid-September right now. We're actually two-thirds of the way through September. So think about that. All right. With that, I think we got it worked out. Stan Dale from standale.com. That is standale.com. Follow along with us on the show images page. Stan, how you doing, my friend?
Say again.
Just how you doing?
Well, at the moment, I'm frustrated. These Everything in this computer is just suddenly not working. The sound levels are so low, I can hardly hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Now, people are going to complain because you're red, I'm green, we're purple together. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But you know what? You look good. Everything's fine. You know what? Folks, deal with it, okay? Please, listen to the information, not the, whatever you call it, the ambiance. Yeah, but it's good to have you, brother. It's good to have you.
Okay, good to be here. As I say, I'm kind of struggling to hear you. I just have no idea what's wrong with the system.
You want me to shout? I can shout and really drive people nuts. Well, no worries. You're coming in very clear. I hope you can hear that. You're coming in very, very clear and very at the proper tone. So if you just want to, if you just kind of want to start, I'll yell, I'll jump in and say, hey, you know, so if you want to start, feel free.
Your voice is like, the sound of static that someone makes when they're trying to hang up, like, and somewhere in between there, I hear your words. Sorry about that. Come.
Well, Stan, I don't know if you can hear me now, but you're coming in fine. Not sure.
Are you there?
Yes, and the comedy routine shall continue for a while. Yes, coming in fine. Eric the Tech, I'm going to need your advice.
Oh, gosh.
Everything on our end's just like it was with Randy.
Okay. Did Stan hear that?
Oh, try it again. I was just getting the headphones on so that I could.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Well, you're too loud. You can back it off now, Eric, because the headphones are working, whereas the system's not. So, yeah.
All right. Let's see. Okay. All righty then.
1, 2, 3. Is that okay, Eric?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, bit by bit, I guess we're getting back online. Gee whiz, that's sad.
You know, some days it just doesn't pay to. Just doesn't pay some days, right? Some days the bear gets you, and other days you get the bear. All right. So, okay, Stan, you can hear me now and everything's fine, right?
Yeah. I'm just, trying to boost you there on this. Almost.
You can, ooh, you just, ooh, you're boosted me. Or, ooh, there goes another boost.
All right. Now, how's that? Is that closer to skin tones for you?
Let's rock. Yes. Let's rock.
All right. Right. Because of the system problems I've been having this morning, I haven't got all my stuff, you know, linked up, or this evening anyway. Sorry, this morning when I started all this, everything worked fine.
I know.
Holly had to take the dog up to Colorado Springs this morning, so they put everything behind, and then afternoon, wow. Anyway, let's try a couple things. Looking at slide 55, it's the Prince of the Covenant to Come, and you can click on either the text or or the picture, and it comes up. Now, you know, we've been talking about Jared Kushner as a potential, you know, Antichrist or something like that. Look at these articles are from about 2016 forward. In various magazines, Forbes says this guy got Trump elected. I didn't know that. And then we see the next one says, I can't see the name of the magazine. That wasn't Forbes, but president-in-law. You know, like he's the shadow behind President Trump. We've talked about that before. And then Time Magazine had an article front page of him showing the good son. And then The Week shows America's princeling, which I found very, very interesting. They use the term prince. Again, referring back to the Daniel phrase or verse where it's talking about the prince of the covenant. So we don't have a covenant yet in the Middle East. We don't have agreements with three nations over there, three Arab nations. It might be that we're going to see, after all the Arab nations come together, including the Palestinians, to form a peace treaty after they've all agreed to have an agreement, then they get a peace treaty, that we're going to see the Antichrist revealed fairly soon if that happens. And also in Time magazine, there's a front on it, shows the family business with Jared Kushner in the front of it. He's really just a fascinating fellow. I can't help but think he's either, well, he's going to either be the Antichrist or the false prophet. I still am oscillating between him and Mohammed bin Salman. Now, the peace treaties or peace agreements in the Middle East, the ones that have already been done, they're the three Arab countries and Israel, are irritating the heck out of the Palestinian leadership. They're saying, you can't do this. You're supposed to be siding with us. We're not going to sign that agreement. And until somebody, perhaps Saudi Arabia with enough money and land, calms down the Palestinians won't sign the agreement. Now, later there may be a contract, a covenant, or, you know, something like that, an accord, like with the Oslo Accord, and they may sign. But right now it's a rocky road to get there. And if you look at slide 56, the royal family are divided about this, because young Mohammed bin Salman wants to have the agreement with Israel, and then eventually the peace treaty, I'm sure, and all the other Arab nations, excluding Iran. And they want to have this peace treaty, and he wants to have it with them. And his father, old King Salman himself, says, no, I'm not going to do it. That's just a violation of our principles. And he's put his feet in. Now, how long he stays in power, the king, it depends on how long he lives. He's been ill, been in the hospital. And at this point, that makes Prince bin Salman, Mohammed bin Salman, a prince still. He's not the king. So either he or Jared could sign, or both, the coming peace treaty. But anyway, this, the Middle East is a mystery at the moment. It's so chaotic, it's incredible. Over on slide 57, we've got an article that says, behind Trump's Turkish bromance, new report unveils how deep Erdogan ties are with the White House. Now, it is well documented, apparently, according to the article. National Security Advisor John Bolton described it as well documented that he and Erdogan and Donald Trump have got a real good thing going between them, agreements on something. Let's see. Yeah, right. I'm just looking down through here to see more of this. Turkey, this is interesting, because Turkey has the seat of Satan there, virtually, in a monument. And so Erdogan could somehow fit into this, or Turkey into the end time scenario. So when I see United States, cozying up to Erdogan, I'm starting to wonder what else is going to happen. About a year and a half ago, I talked on the program about a Turkish journalist, a leading journalist over there. I think it was a lady at the time. And she was talking about the need for the Muslim world to let Israel rebuild Solomon's temple on the Mount so they could have peace, and both sides could worship there, and they would put an end to war. Now, that idea has, percolated over there, but I'm pretty sure Erdogan's not in favor of that at the moment, but he could be. So you see how these pieces are all kind of, forming a picture, although it'd be loosely fitting. It's like the pieces of a jigsaw. They're almost there, but not quite. So keep an eye on Turkey as well as Erdogan. He's on my show images page, number 13.
Okay. All right.
Now, slide 52. Just click on the picture. When the three Arab countries that signed the agreement, the peace agreement, between Israel and themselves. When they went to the White House for the signing, senior advisor Jared Kushner walks away following a television interview on the North Lawn of the White House in Washington. Now, I just wanted to show you a picture of how tall he is and how gangly he looks. It brings to mind after the Antichrist is thrown down in the hot stones of Eden and is you know, destroyed. People marvel at this. How could this small, you know, this insignificant little thing have caused so much trouble on Earth and elsewhere? And I'm just wondering, you know, when I look at that, I see a very frail looking Jared Kushner, wondering if that's going to be the body that that Satan inhabits or controls.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And yeah, of course, in his address to the United Nations today, President Trump had extolled the virtues of the agreement. And he also took China to task, by the way, which is the other part of the stuff that we talk about, you know, the invasion by other nations and the war and stuff. So just saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in the midst of all this, we've got some interesting stuff happening here in the environment. In slide 47, it's orcas, you know, orca, a whale, mm-hmm. are great white sharks for hearts and testicles. Now, if you click on the picture, you can see a close alignment of, you know, close discussion of that. And what is happening is the orca whale is whales. They're going into great white shark, areas, and they're hitting them hard in the side and tearing a rip in it to open them up just a bit. And then they are somehow, this is gross, but they're somehow sucking out the liver, about, you know, several hundred pounds of liver out of this shark. Why are they doing this all of a sudden? Is it environmental changes? Is it their feeding grounds have been destroyed? I'm just not sure, you know, what things we can say, but you click on the text and you can get to the article. Let me just see if I've told you everything I wanted to on that. In fact, I looked at the sun as a possible cause, thinking that maybe the UVB, which generates, you know, vitamin D in humans and animals and stuff, if that was compromised so that it wasn't getting enough, we weren't getting enough vitamin D for, you know, from the sun and from, you know, for the animals as well. If that were the case, you know, then why didn't it affect the other animals? Sharks are still kind of behaving like normal, except they're running scared from the orcas.
I would too.
they are big, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at shark anatomy and stuff and tried to figure out, actually it was 132 pound liver that they just, it's like, some kind of a pocket that the shark becomes a pocket and the whale just sucks out the goodies there.
Livers, hearts, and testicles, that's, huh?
Well, that's on the male sharks, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope so. Or those who identify as males. No, never mind. Just, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I know the sun is not behaving right for, you know, it's supposed to be a low sunspot period we're starting into, and certainly there aren't a lot of sunspots, but what we do get are big and nasty. And so in 1992, I think is when the scientific community here discovered that we had two new ultraviolet frequencies coming out of the sun. Now, how they affected, you know, or how they are affecting the vitamin D production, I don't know. Something is wrong with the sun. I've said that over and over, so many people have rung me, because our gardens are not, they're not germinating quickly. In some cases, you have to go do it yourself with a vibrating toothbrush to get like tomatoes and squash to pollinate and make the fruit. But when you get the fruit, like the tomatoes, they're small. I mean, we had like planted like beef eaters, you know, these big monster tomatoes, and we got tomatoes about like that. It's same soil, you know, a new soil, but same mixture. And, you know, the watermelons that I planted, I only got a watermelon, or four watermelons, that big. I can't believe it. And other people are saying they're having the same thing with stunted growth of their crops. And I have to trace back to the sun, because the bees need a certain type of ultraviolet. And if that's being overshadowed by another one, another frequency of ultraviolet coming in too strong, then maybe that's why the bees can't see where to land and where to pollinate. When we put black covers, like 40% covers, over the top of our, raised beds, things started to happen and bees started to get in and were shaded. And so maybe that was what the problem was. I don't know. Our potatoes came out about that big. They're not huge. We're wondering whether it's water or whether it's sunlight. Just again, questions with the environment.
Well, I don't know about vegetables, but I can tell you this over in the, where I'm at in the middle Atlantic, you're looking at, I don't know. It seems like an early winter coming on. Does that mean anything to you in all of this, or is that just anecdotal in terms of seeing?
We're seeing fall for sure coming, but winter's right on its heels. Our golden locust trees have been dropping leaves now for 3 or 4 weeks. Let's see what else has been affected. Just the crops and that, and the bees. And we've got a hummingbird that's still hanging on the feeder. You know, we should be up the mountain somewhere, gone, or someplace south, for the cool period. So he's still here. We've had a finch fly in and look at making a nest in the finch flower basket upside the kitchen door. And we've already had two families get in there and raise 4 chicks each this year. So here's a third finch coming in to use the nest. Everything is just messed up. Really messed up.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. I'm looking here for something, an article I wanted to tell you about. You see slide 44. You click on that picture.
Slide 44. All right.
Yeah.
Let me just grab this. All right. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay.
All right. Now, you see an F-35 on the right in that inset.
Right.
Beautiful plane, still got problems with targeting. But now then they're working and are testing, actually, a sixth-generation stealth fighter, which is what you see in the main picture, with that kind of triangular look to it facing you. And looking at that, and then looking over at the F-35, do you see anything missing?
Yeah. The vertical stabilizer?
Yeah. And I don't see any, no ailerons either for, your attitude control.
True.
So how does that thing, this new, sixth gen thing, how does it navigate? How does it go left, right, or up or down? Are we looking at some kind of a field effect, like,
Well, no.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, it's got thrusters behind it, or at least in the picture, jets propelling it. But if you look closely over on the smaller image of that new test craft, look underneath, there's a pod hanging underneath it. So then you ask yourself, or is there a light under each tip and under the nose tip that makes 3 lights and a bright pod underneath it? Is this what we're seeing in the skies?
Hmm.
Before they even tell us that they're even working on it, and even before they officially release it, they've been flying new aircraft a long time ahead of the public release. So I'm wondering if this is that approximation of the triangular craft that we've been seeing. Just thought that would be an interesting thing.
Okay. I'm looking at this. You make some really good points here. Wouldn't we know that though? I mean, I guess, is this craft in use right now, or is this still kind of in production or in
Well, it's not in production officially, but there is one of the articles I found that said it's been flown in test flights already. So, where that is, why that is, I don't know.
That's a little different.
Let me just,
Man, I'll tell you what, this looks like science fiction. It really does. And I mean, I'm not trying to be just kind of stupid about this, but that's really kind of Twilight Zone-ish.
And look at it. Now, this is an artist rendition of what Jen will be. So there's artistic license in that, So I don't know if that's the real shape it will be without control surfaces that are visible or not. I mean, control surfaces on the F-35 are a little bit small. You know, they're. I'm just trying to see if I've got a picture.
Well, anyway. You know, it reminds me of this morning when President Trump was talking about the military, and he made it a point to say a couple of times about advanced weapons. It could be one, maybe, but and how. I mean, it's really advanced weapons that we have. Hopefully, we'll never have to use them, but advanced. And I was just wondering exactly what he meant by that. I mean, not that I need to know, but okay. It sounds like we've got something big.
Yeah, I'm sure we have had the technology since, 1971 when I was in the organization down in Australia under Dr. Teller. But I'm sure they're much more advanced, and I hope we have them because the Chinese have been stealing so much stuff. They've got the Chinese version of the F-35. And one thing that Holly and I kind of discussed earlier today was, if the Chinese are coming at us with a fighter that's almost as good as ours, suppose they have an EMP cannon, if you wish. It's a microwave burst that they can shoot out the front of their aircraft, out in front of them. Would that fry all of the electronics on our newest aircraft? Because we have electronics out the wazoo in the F-35, and I'm sure in the sixth-gen craft. So with an EMP that's directed like that, it's like making a directed microwave oven hit the target. And we have cruise missiles that are equipped with that kind of stuff. I think it's Raytheon, put that together. And they can take a cruise missile, aim it at a building full of computers, and short them all out with a microwave burst.
Hmm.
And as I say, warfare nowadays is not kind of... not intuitive, really, because there's so many ways your enemy can fox you and so many ways you can fox him that it's, if we win an encounter in the air, I think it's going to be by the grace of God that the Chinese, EMP weapons didn't function right or missed us or something.
Oh.
So much junk out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, EMP shield, you got them for cars. How about for, F-35s and B-2s.
I think Tim's working on that in his spare time. If you're listening, Tim, that was a joke. I know you late. Oh, look.
Folks, EMPShield.com, EMPShield.com/Hagman, EMPShield.com/Hagman, $50 off. And if you buy more than three, put in extra 10, EXDRA 1010, and you'll get an extra 10% off. Right.
If you buy three or more,
three or more. Right. So in other words, you buy one, put, go to Hagman Report, or I'm sorry, I'll get this right. EMPShield.com/Hagman for one, three or more, go to, EMPShield.com/Hagman and put in, extra 10 in addition to going to, yeah, just put in an extra 10, EXTRA 10, and then get 10% off, even in addition to the $50 off. So, and again, if you do that so many times, Stan and the company will be paying you for buying them. I'm kidding, of course, but it's a great deal. Veteran owned company. It's 100% American made, and it's a way to keep your equipment safe. There you go. All right, sir.
Okay. Let me see here. There's, oh, slide 46, just on the picture. I have a blow up of that. That's an F-35 out of the fleet that we've sold to Israel. And you can see the Israeli flag draped across his instrument panel there in the cockpit.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet that the F-35s that Israel has gotten from the States have gizmos and features that are not on the F-35s that will be sold or delivered to UAE and the other Arab countries that might use them against Israel. And in this shot, you can see on the wings, the forward edges of the wings, you can see the ailerons, you know, those little drop down flap right. things. Okay. And, so on this one, you've got them. And if you look at the coating on this plane, it is a stealth fighter, but it's not the sixth gen one that we've been talking about. Okay.
War, if it breaks out, is going to be pretty doggone interesting.
Oh, interesting, probably, you know, disastrous to both sides and very quick. We're not talking about, you know, World War II type stuff where you plan months ahead of deploying troops and ships and submarines and whatever and, you know, putting false intelligence out to the enemy. This is not going to happen. This is because we're going to have a technological war and our artificial intelligence, you know, computers will be launching weapons and doing defensive measures on its own. And I, you know, I have often stressed my concern over artificial intelligence being in charge of weapons or major decision-making in the States or anywhere, because program an artificial intelligence to be thinking like a human, right?
Right.
The human or humans that program it will have prejudices. They will, you know, see a solution to a problem a different way. And it is possible for all the programming that goes into this artificial intelligence computer to find a situation where it's in an intellectual dilemma, not knowing to go left or right, or sit still or what, and it'll lock it up. You know, because the human mind is so complex. And when you try to emulate it, you know, with neural nets, stuff like that in the artificial intelligence, so many things could cause the artificial intelligence to turn on itself, turn on its own people, to fail, to not be fast enough. You know, and parts of it may just, you know, self-modify when you have heuristic programs, like artificial intelligence, but heuristic goes out and gets information to modify its own coding. It's problematic. I mean, you don't know if the computer's been programmed, you know, good enough to allow it to reprogram itself. Anyway, yeah, that's what we're facing is an incredible, fast, brutal, terrible war. And I think we will back off of that until the time of the Battle of Armageddon. There will be some wars. As we know, the Antichrist is going to overthrow three countries of the 10. And I'm sure that will be military. And it will probably be the United States and maybe Great Britain. And then a third country. I don't know who it might be yet. Maybe Australia. Who knows? But they are going to be destroyed by the Antichrist and his weapons. Which, by the way, Daniel says he will have the support, the help of an alien god, is what it says in Hebrew, meaning not from around here. And so it gets back to looking at the great deception I've been talking about. Will the Antichrist have space weapons, you know, and platforms, et cetera, up there, courtesy of the Antichrist, you know, the fallen angels, posing as our friends? I don't know, but it's with their help, you know, we're almost certain to be defeated here, as we've seen UFOs caught 10, 20 years ago. And now we've seen them go over nuclear power plants. We've seen them go over missile silos and turn the missile silo off.
Yeah.
You know, it couldn't be fired. So if you're planning to defend yourself, you're not going to be doing it with a dud missile.
Boy, it's talk about a pucker factor. You know, you're sitting there at the controls. Yeah. You got one job to do, and that's the, you know, if I have to, I got to send this missile out, and all of a sudden, you know, when somebody unplugs something?
Yeah.
What happened? Extension cord not long enough? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be something. Okay.
Now, wander down to slide 42 and hit the picture there.
Folks, following along at home, playing at home with us, it'll be square number 42. And that is Charles Nelson O'Reilly for the win here. Okay, here we go. All right, 42.
42, the answer to the great unanswered question of the universe, 42, but also showing a map here of the Middle East and various Arab countries and Israel, showing what kind of weaponry, aircraft that they've got. Now, you see there, Israel, it has, they've signed contracts to acquire up to 50 F-35s, which is far short of their intentions. Ultimately, it plans to replace the 386 F-16s and the 99 F-15s. It is unclear whether this will be a purchase of more F-35s or an upgraded 4 or 4.5 generation fighter. Now, that's Israel. Then you look at even Morocco over here on the side. They've received 24 F-16s, which is, you know, several generations back, and they operate 22 F-5s. Let's see here. And they may invest in new fighters, it says, to keep up with their neighbor Algeria. Saudi Arabia. Now, we know that several months, a year or two ago, when Mohammed bin Salman came to meet with our president, that the president signed a deal with him to supply them with a bunch of F-35s and other things, but it hasn't come to pass yet. Instead, they've got a deal in Europe for 72 Eurofighter Typhoons. Now, I wondered about that, and I thought, well, okay, if they're not actually buying American technology, they're buying European, you know, are they counting on the fact that America's not going to be in the game long enough to support and make, you know, fighters and other details that they could buy for weather, or sorry, for war weapons? Or you know, I mean.
Well, I never thought of that, but that's a concern.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where are we going to get parts from, especially if they're not making parts because they're not making anything?
That's right. And that's a real clear and present danger for us here in the States. So many things could lead us to that and be undefended and be attacked by Russia and China and maybe Saudi Arabia, you never know, but through, you know, a Middle East nation as well. The Omanis, their air force, are fourth generation fighters, just a little bit superior to just a standard F-35. Kuwait, they're going to buy some fourth-gen fighters. It looks like they're going to get French fighters, the Dassault Rafale MF3 fighters. Everybody's gearing up for a really, really interesting air war and, you know, tactical strafing and whatever, bomb dropping. Bahrain, let's see. Their talks with the British government over the Eurofighter as a possible replacement for aging fleet of F-5s. And F-16s, other options given, other options include the Gripen Rafale and F-35s, which, of course, we've got, America sold F-35s to Italy and various other countries. Again, I don't think we send out our current technology, probably two models back at least, so that we can defend ourselves against our own planes should they come this way. Let's see, UAE. The Eurofighter and the Dassault resale remain top contenders. Well, of course, we know that they're wanting F-35s from us, too. Okay. Anyway, that's around the Middle East showing that those guys are gearing up for potential war or defensive actions against their neighbors. But it looks more like if the Arab League or the Arab, what do they call them? Arab Union, I think it is. Anyway, there's 34 Arab nations in that with the Saudis leading the pack. That Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
A message just came up and said Zoom can't detect your microphone.
Well, we can detect it. You're coming in loud and clear.
And so are you. It's actually vibrating my eardrums. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. Well, I'll try to talk softly.
Yeah, starting to sound like, what's his name in 24? Yeah, Sutherland. Or, no, not Sutherland. Was it? Kiefer Sutherland, yeah. He always talking like that, whispering. Anyway, yeah. Okay. Look at slide 39. Click on the slide. Oh, it's not active. I must have missed that this morning. Anyway, slide 39 is a slide showing the solar cycle 25 prediction of it. And you can just see it in the picture there. There's a red arrow going down to kind of a red line to replace the blue lines you've been seeing there about how many sunspots you're going to have in that cycle. So right now, we're looking like it might be entering in to a, instead of a moderate minimum, you know, where everything's cold, a modern, M-O-D-E-R-N, a modern minimum. I thought it was a clever play on words they did, but the sun can still go coldish or not to throw the sunspots like we see on the surface, but it can still surprise us, and it has been doing so. Scientists have been watching several things that don't make sense on the sun, as I've been warning about for some time. Now, when you see that little red, you know, peak for sunspot activity for solar cycle 25 on the map on slide 39, when you go over to the map on slide 37, you know, it shows a prediction that's equal to the last one, higher. So you kind of get the, and this is from the same article. You got to wonder which one is telling you the truth, you know?
Wow. There is a difference. You're right.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, we got about a minute and a half left, sir.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Boy, where'd the time go? All right, let me see if I've hit my best articles there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, then let's take a look at slide 43, picture of Jupiter. That's the latest image taken by the Hubble telescope, late August 25. And it's just a very sharp, nice image that you can, you know, zoom up. And there is a super big new storm replacing the old red eye on Jupiter. But it was just, in fact, if you go to the NASA site, our Hubble site, and look at this, the high-res picture, it is amazing the detail they're getting on it.
Wow. So all of the planets are in flux, it seems. So,
Yeah.
Everything's in flux, the sun, Jupiter.
All right, and now just quickly, Trump has upped the number of people going to, or countries that are going to sign the peace agreement, and says that they're going to be up to 9 Arab countries, including Saudi Arabia, are interested in peace with Israel. And that's kind of his overt way of saying what's going on behind the scenes, saying, you know, Saudi Arabia and these guys are getting together. We're already talking to them behind the scenes, and it's going to happen. So when they get to this stage and announce it, I'm pretty sure we're going to see, you know, at least six more Arab nations join and force the Palestinians to join the deal.
Mm. We're going to be keeping our eyes on that and more. Stan, thank you so very much for your gracious gift of time this evening, and get some rest and polish up your computer. My goodness, all these situations.
I don't know what made that happen, but anyway, I'll get to the bottom of it.
All right, brother. Thank you, and give Holly my best, and my best to your furry ones, too, your fur babies. Appreciate that.
Are you hearing that, Bella?
There you go, Bella.
Yep, ears picked up, but that's about all the comment I got from her, so there you go.
Have a good night, Stan. Folks, that'll do it for me and for us tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate that. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your belief and your trust in us. keep J.D. Hopwood in your prayers and his family in your prayers. Of course, I mentioned about him and his sudden diagnosis, unexpected diagnosis of cancer. Until tomorrow, may God bless. Good night.